Today, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let us not covet evil things as they also coveted. Neither become ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted, and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue that you may be able to bear it. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known, and that in this day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and straighten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground. And thy children who are in thee, and they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. So today, we have much to contemplate in our scriptural readings. We see that our Lord is, that zeal for his Father's house has consumed him. We see that he does not accept the profanation of the temple. He rightly hates that grave injustice against the honor of God, and shows forth the due anger so as to cast them out of the temple. We hear about it in a number of times in the gospel. It probably happened more than once, in fact. And so we see our Lord, the zeal that he has for the house of God, and in that he is our model. He teaches us. And it's very helpful to read about all the great care and reverence they showed to the temple in the Old Testament, which is nothing in comparison with a church of the New Testament, where God dwells not only in spirit, but substantially, body, blood, soul, and divinity, where the Son of God himself continues to live amongst us. And so we should recall how we should reverence when we consecrate the church. We have the phrase in that liturgy that, Hic Domus Dei est et porta caeli, that behold, this is the house of God and the gate of heaven, that we have access to what was only in one place in the whole wide world, now we have in every city and neighborhood throughout the Catholic world. And so we should be ever grateful, always showing our greatest reverence, no? And likewise in our outward appearance. If somebody were to go to a formal event or to meet somebody on special for an interview or perhaps seeking a courtship, they will express what they feel about that person by how they dress, no? So it's remember what your parents well taught you, to always come dressed in your Sunday best, as we say, to show that reverence and respect to God, okay? And likewise, to make sure that it's always a place of prayer, that we avoid idle chatter while we're in the house of God. And then, if we're scandalized by profanations or offenses against the house of God, we should stop to think today, as the readings present to us, that you, too, are a house of God. Okay? See what St. Paul says. I very much recommend reading the whole letter to the Corinthians, where he says that, Do you not know that you are temples of the Holy Ghost? Okay? And the first thing he adds after that is, Flee from fornication. He says, How, if you're joined to the Lord, can you then join yourself as one flesh with a harlot? profaning the temple of God, which you are. Okay, so stop to think about that for a moment. Those of you who perhaps come to this Mass looking to sense and perceive that great reverence towards our Lord, our Eucharistic Lord present amongst us, but as you would never do anything to profane a church or the tabernacle, I ask you, is your body more sacred than that tabernacle? And sometimes people respond, no, of course the tabernacle is holier. Well, not as such. I mean, there our Lord dwells in the most blessed sacrament, but the tabernacle in the end is just a consecrated box. It's not the friend of God. It's not the spouse of God. It doesn't love God, nor does God love the tabernacle. It's just a consecrated box. He didn't die, he didn't shed his blood for that tabernacle, but he did all of that for your body, okay? To save not only your soul, but your body as well, as we believe in the resurrection of the body, as we say in the Apostles' Creed. And so, to think about that, your body is a temple of God. Recognize your dignity. You should go about conscious of that. One, by avoiding anything which could profane that temple. And think about how your body was consecrated to God. In holy baptism, we anointed it. We poured the sacred water over it. We anointed it with a chrism. We christened you, and then you received our Lord in Holy Communion. You received his body in your body, okay? As did the Blessed Virgin Mary, and how we admire her immaculateness, not only in her conception, but her whole life, avoiding all stain of sin. And that to become the perfect tabernacle, living tabernacle of God. And so, let us, as the Apostle says, flee from fornication. It is a helpful thought to always think that as your body is consecrated to God, okay, that any abuse of this would be a great degradation and a great offense to him. Likewise, to to see with horror and sadness when we see immodesty and impurity about us. It's much worse than seeing a physical church desecrated. Okay? And always think, too, that our Lord looks upon you at every moment. Your guardian angel is always by your side. The Blessed Virgin Mary beholds you, as do the saints in heaven. And with what horror to see that you would trade our Lord, that you would forsake all that he suffered for you just for some passing pleasure. Okay? Debasing oneself to the level of the beasts, or as St. Thomas points out, with unnatural vices, even worse than the beasts. Okay? So recognize your dignity. Likewise, and of course the readings speak about fornication. We can apply it also to adultery, taking both themes, but understanding it according to this Christian truth, that our body now belongs to God. He made us, he redeemed us, he bought us at a great price. And so that one can only be united in that marital intimacy when God unites those two people, okay? It was the popes, especially since the days of Leo XIII and his encyclical Arcanum, this is the first half of the 19th century, they're deploring this terrible, terrible persecution against the church by where civil authorities are establishing a civil marriage and a civil divorce. I know that sounds horrifying. You can't even imagine, no? But what is the scandal that it causes to Catholics? That there is no such thing. God, there's such a thing for pagans, but for those who are baptized, you either get married in Christ or you're not married. There's no secular identity that you have apart from Christ. Okay, and so let us recall that point, that you either get married in Christ or you don't get married. You can only be one with another person if God joins you with them. You belong to him, okay? And so it's only in that sacrament of matrimony that that becomes possible. And further, to have further horror against any the thought of adultery or the temptations to adultery, to think that now as a sacrament, okay, the nobility and dignity, sacred dignity, rises even higher, okay? Because what does matrimony represent? St. Paul tells us it represents the union of Christ and his church, okay? And you made your vows before God in his holy temple. And so Those who sin against this great sacrament of matrimony are sinning against something that represents Christ's own honor. Think about if you ran a business and you have your logo on everything. All of your employers wear it on their shirt as they go out. If one of them behaves very badly, it causes much scandal. Do you suffer? Yes, you do, because he has your name on his shirt. Okay, all those who are married then bear that mark of Christ upon them. You represent Christ to the world. You represent his love to his church, and vice versa, spouses. Okay, and to sin against that is to degradate and stain his own honor. And thus you should see that with the greatest horror. And then the ritual that I would always use with my previous assignment at excerpts from the Roman Catechism, reminding them that God himself will chastise. He will take vengeance on those who profane his very name. Okay, because God is not mocked. And so let us recall these truths, you know, in our ever secularized, more and more paganized world. And then let's take it another step too and reflect on that we should be a house of prayer. Our Lord is much more zealous for the temple which is our body. What are we doing in it? Is our Lord even present there? If you walk into a church and there's no Blessed Sacrament, well, what's the point? Could have stayed at home, no? Okay, what about your soul? If you go in your body through recollection, start to pray interiorly, is God present there as your friend? By sanctifying grace, he's present everywhere, even in hell, right? Causing it to exist. But in the soul of the just, and by sanctifying grace, he becomes present as our intimate friend. St. Thomas Aquinas says we can enjoy the three divine persons in our soul. It's our friend. Friendship, St. Thomas says, implies a certain equality because we are made partakers of the same divine nature. As St. Sen and the Bible tells us, this is a spiritual espousal to God by sanctifying grace. And so what is the state of the temple, the church of your soul? If you go in, is everything in order? Is our Lord there? Or has it been profaned and desecrated? Okay. And likewise, he says, it is to be a place of prayer. And what a consolation. First, it's the counsel we always give for those, we have to keep custody of the eyes in this ever-increasing immoral pagan world that surrounds us. But we do so for a twofold motive, not only to avoid what is evil and ugly, but so as to preserve something far better. And honestly, I share my own experience there. If you practice meditation every day, it's what we just meditated in the men's talk this last Wednesday. The recording's available for anyone who would want it. But again, how to pray. And if you establish that habit, you start to go about with recollection. You start to be conscious of, you feel like, oh, I've just received Holy Communion. That's what we'll hear in the communion verse today. Qui manducat carne meam et bibit sanguine meum in me manet et ego in eo. So that he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Okay, think about it. As you go after you receive Holy Communion, you're very conscious. Wow, I have our Lord inside of me. Okay, he's not leaving. The sacramental species will eventually corrupt. He will not be substantially present, but he's still spiritually present from one communion to the next. Okay, or as insofar as you remain in a state of grace. And use that to motivate yourself as well. I am a temple of God. God the Son is about to come down and dwell in me. Well, that'll be just in a few days when I go to Mass. Hence, I should prepare this temple, make it beautiful, clean it, preserve its dignity, to not defile it, okay? Because I'm about to receive Holy Communion. And try to live like that from communion to communion. It'll keep you focused, it'll keep you motivated, and ever conscious of your dignity. And so, this constant prayer, our Lord dwells with us. We can be there, we can speak with him, and enjoy his divine presence. And hence, this is, and note the contrary, the next verse in the Gospel, which is not included in the reading as such, but it says that then they sought to destroy him, right? So we see whose side are we on? There are those who, when they announce that this temple is sacred, that as we announce your body is sacred, some people will not accept that. They will not have a lord of the temple of their body. It's my body, I will do with it as I please. So many say, no, even with reference to another body which dwells in them, which they wish to kill. But how often do we say that? When we choose to sin, when we forsake our Lord, when we throw him out of the temple, when we give our body over to profane things. And so I read from you in closing the quote of St. Paul, who says to the Corinthians, if you go back to chapter 6, he says in verse 13, meat for the belly and the belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now God hath raised up the Lord, and will raise up us up also by his power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Or know you not that he who is joined to a harlot is made one body? For they shall be, saith he, two in one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Fly from fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Or know you not that your members are the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a great price. Glorify and bear God in your body. Amen.